This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
This is News Radio 1070 WINA, Charlottesville Right Now. Help me welcome to the studio Deborah Murray and David Carr with the Southern Environmental Law Center. They join me live in studio. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate it. Been looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
We have a lot we want to get to, and David, let's start with you. I learned recently that the Bush administration, before they leave office, they were doing their darndest and their very best to change the rules of the Clean Air Act and put in some waivers for coal-burning power plants and oil refineries to make it easier so that they could pollute a little bit more in our national parks. And since we here in Central Virginia live next door to a national park, Shenandoah National Park up on the Blue Ridge, this is seriously going to affect us. So fill us in on exactly what's going on. What are they trying to do? Are they going to be successful? And what could this potentially mean?
Well, unfortunately, Coy, as you mentioned, the Bush administration is looking at a number of rollbacks of environmental protections and health regulations. The one particular one that affects Shenandoah National Park would make it much easier for new power plants and refineries to come online that would dump their emissions on Shenandoah National Park, which is already one of the most polluted national parks in the country. Same with the Great Smoky Mountains National Park down in North Carolina. The emissions contribute to acid rain that are causing the killing off of fish in our trout streams. And smog in the national parks, you wouldn't think it, but you can go up to the Skyline Drive in the summertime and you can run into a health warning just like you would in an urban area that you shouldn't be out hiking because the air quality is so bad that it's hazardous to your health.
Yeah, I've had folks here visiting in the summertime and they look up on the Blue Ridge and say, oh, look at the haze from the sun. You know, I'm like, that's not sunlight, that's pollution. That the reason you can't see those mountains has nothing to do with the sun. That is pollution.
Yeah, and that's really the third thing, as you mentioned, is visibility impairment. All those pollutants not only do the acid rain and the smog, but mean you can't see down from the top of the Skyline Drive to the valley floor. And when the park was created back in the 1930s, apparently you could see from Front Royal all the way to the Washington Monument, some 70 miles away.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that's amazing even to think about. Gosh. And, of course, it's on the west side of the Blue Ridge. You can see all the dying trees and the dead trees from the acid rain on that side.
Well, some of that's gypsy moth, but, acid rain has caused the dieback of trees, particularly up on the higher ridges. So lots of effects on the national parks. We've made some progress, actually, in cleaning up that pollution, but what the Bush administration wants to do here at the end is roll back those protections for the national parks and make it much easier to bring on new coal-fired power plants. There are three new coal-fired power plants right now within about 180 miles of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. One of them is in Wise County, Virginia. And as it stands now, those projects have to consider their impacts on the national parks when they're being permitted. And this change would make it much easier for those projects to be permitted despite their impacts on the national parks. So it really is a bad thing. We have several other areas. One is the James River Face Wilderness right down near Lynchburg that also would be affected by this rule. The second thing I wanted to mention is the Supreme Court in a case that we represented the appellants in last year ruled that new when you wanted to upgrade a dirty coal-fired power plant to make some changes, that you had to put on new pollution control equipment to control the dirty emissions coming out there, basically scrubbers to control the SO2 emissions and the NOx emissions. And the administration is looking at a rule that would make it much easier to take those dirty coal-fired plants, upgrade them, and not have to put on new pollution control equipment. So that's bad for the environment, bad for public health. In addition, it would make it easier to keep those plants running, and those plants are a major source of CO2 emissions, which are contributing to global warming. So that rule would have secondary impacts of keeping these dirty coal-fired plants running longer than they would otherwise.
We're talking with David Carr from the Southern Environmental Law Center. And David, what do you say to somebody who might be listening who's thinking, well, you know, if we want to have our own energy independence, we're going to have more pollution because we need more coal-burning power plants, and this is how we're going to have to do it, and this is just the price we're going to have to pay for energy independence?
Well, coal is really the wrong way to go in terms of achieving energy independence and achieving public health goals. Energy efficiency really is the cheapest and the best source of new energy. That's using what we have more wisely, investing in using new refrigerators that use half the electricity that your old refrigerator does. The utilities should be getting involved in helping us, the consumers, consume less electricity. That will be a cheaper investment for them than building a new coal-fired power plant. You can do efficiency improvements for roughly 3 cents a kilowatt hour and what we pay 7 or 8 cents a kilowatt hour for electricity now. And this new coal-fired power plant that Dominion wants to build down in Wise County is a $1.5 billion project. So that's going to increase our electric rates to bring on that coal plant where they could be investing in energy efficiency improvements and lowering our rates.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Deborah Murray is also here. She's with the Southern Environmental Law Center, and that is online at southernenvironment.org. And Deborah, tell us about, there's also something else going on. The Bush administration is trying to change the rules when it comes to mining coal, mountaintop removal. Tell us first, for folks who don't know what that is and what the new rules would mean.
That's correct. And mountaintop removal mining is sort of what it sounds, that to get at coal mining, surface mining, basically the area is clear cut and then the tops of the mountain is taken off and then the coal is got at that way.
And so they don't dig a tunnel, they just blow the roof off of the mountain.
Exactly. And there has been a rule in effect, although it's honored more in the breach, but there's been a rule in effect since 1983 which says that you can't have coal mining operations within 100 feet of intermittent and perennial streams, and it's called the buffer zone, stream buffer zone requirement. And as I say, that has been very poorly enforced because over the years we've had lots of streams in Central Appalachia that have been buried by, in essence, when mining is done, there is excess material that then the coal mining operators dump into the valley below. We have
where the water flows.
Where the water flows. So you're completely obliterating streams and, of course, all the life that's present there. But in any event, the rule that has been in effect has prohibited that, but the regulatory authorities have been pretty lenient in granting variances to that. And now, however, the new rule change that the Bush administration wants to get through would legalize the practice of dumping the excess material.
No more buffer zone.
No more buffer zone.
You want to dump into a stream, go ahead and do it.
It would eviscerate the stream buffer zone rule.
And how does this affect somebody listening saying, well, how does that affect me? You know, from what I was reading, this could have a dramatic effect on possibly the James River and even the Potomac River.
Well, it has an enormous effect, of course, on stream health, which has implications for drinking water as well as the aquatic life. I mean, there's nothing worse than more damaging than complete obliteration. And the interesting thing, too, is that the federal government did a study of a few years back to look at the impacts from this form of mining. And even by their own studies, they acknowledged that in Central Appalachia, there have already been 1,200 miles of streams that have been affected by this practice and 700 that have been completely buried. And the government estimated that
700 miles of streams that are now under rock.
That are under rock. And the government estimates if they continued with this trend of the current mining operations, that by 2013, in essence another 10 years, you'd have another 700 that would be completely buried. And so that would be if they would just continue their practice of the variances, but now they would get rid of that altogether.
So it'll happen a lot quicker.
Oh, tremendously quicker. So it's just
And let me ask you the same question. We're talking with Deborah Murray and David Carr from the Southern Environmental Law Center. Let me ask you the same question I asked David. A lot of people think, well, that's just the price you have to pay. You know, some people would argue, well, this is a free market. That's a business. They should be able to do what they want to do. And other people would argue, that's the price you pay for energy independence. If we want to get to more of our coal instead of relying on oil from companies who sponsor countries who sponsor terrorism against us, we're just going to have to blow the roof off of mountains and kill some more streams.
Well, I think probably the best response comes from the governor of Kentucky rather than from me, because the governor of Kentucky is for, of course, coal mining. There, Kentucky is the third largest producing coal region in the United States. And he has recently sent a letter to the federal government saying, we need coal. It's part of our future. But don't pass this regulation. We also, at the same time, have the responsibility to protect our national resources, our waters, and to protect citizens' health. So it's, I think that's the answer, that probably mining will continue to be in our future for a while, but if we're going to do it, we need to do it responsibly.
Yeah. And it's just so interesting to see this these efforts on the part of the Bush administration as they're literally walking out the door to throw all these things at coal companies, you know, these wonderful gifts. I don't know how to any other way to think about it. It's like, hey, thanks for supporting me. Here's a gift. No more stream buffers, you know.
Right.
Pollute the streams, go right ahead. Pollute the parks, go right ahead. It's just amazing.
It's an assault on the environment.
Yeah. Tell us, we're talking about energy independence, and we're talking with Deborah Murray from the Southern Environmental Law Center. You can learn more online at southernenvironment.org. Tell us your take on offshore drilling, because that's a big national issue, but it's also a local issue for us, because we're talking about Virginia. Virginia is a shore state, and we have beaches, and there's people that want to drill right off of those beaches.
Yeah, it's a very important issue right now for Virginia, and I'd like to tell your listeners that there's an opportunity to comment on this to the federal government. That the comment period will end at the end of December. But in essence, as you know, there had been a moratorium on drilling off the Atlantic coast, and action by President Bush, and with Congress not extending the moratorium, that's now no longer in effect. Virginia, there is a proposal out there now to allow leasing for drilling for oil and natural gas. And it's the only place, actually, on the Atlantic coast that's up for leasing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The only state that has...
The only state that would be allowed in this quick turnaround to allow drilling. So we think it's a bad idea. I think that the process, whether we're against drilling, we think there are other alternatives. And in any event, the process that led to the moratorium being lifted was just completely politicized. That's what was driving it, politics and not the science and not the impacts, not the fact that we would... Even by the government's own estimates, there would be such a minuscule amount of oil and gas that would be recoverable that even just strictly from a cost-benefit analysis, it wouldn't make any sense.
And often, and what people don't understand is often they have no intention of drilling. They just want the lease because it makes their stock price go up because they hold the lease.
Exactly.
Because they currently hold the lease on thousands of acres of public land, but they're not drilling.
Exactly.
But you get the lease, and then you go to your, you know... you take that to the marketplace and say, look, we have a lease. You know, we could get this oil if we wanted to, and their stock price goes up. So that often has more to do with it than actually getting the oil.
And the government estimates that off the coast of Virginia, this area that they're proposing to lease, that it would have 130 million barrels of oil potentially recoverable. Well, we already use in this country 20 million barrels a day. So if
so
you do the
math, we're talking about a few days.
We're talking about a few days. With enormous potential impacts on our coastal communities, the fishing industry, the marine life.
So from where you sit, from a cost-benefit analysis, it just doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Deborah Murray is with the Southern Environmental Law Center, and David Carr as well. And before we let you all go, we're going to break for news here at the bottom of the hour. But before we let you go, David, what's the latest on the Endangered Species Act? Because I remember reading something about it. It made the news recently for some reason.
Yeah, well, the Endangered Species Act has been one of our strongest laws in terms of protecting not just endangered species, but wildlife habitat across the board. That law has some teeth. And one way it's effective is that federal agencies that want to do projects or fund projects have to consult with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or the National Marine Fisheries Service, really the experts on species and wildlife in the federal government, before they undertake a project to determine whether or not it's going to have an adverse impact on a species of concern. And what the Bush administration is now proposing here at the very last minute is that the Department of Transportation or the Corps of Engineers would consult with itself, basically self-consult, would not have to consult with the experts at the Fish and Wildlife Service or the Marine Fisheries Service before they want to go ahead with a project and determine, guess what? We don't think it's going to have an adverse impact. We want to go ahead and build this road or build this dam. It's just a ludicrous proposal, but they are pushing hard to get it done.
It's just like saying, I'm going to put a fence in my yard, but I'm not going to call Miss Utility. I'm just going to consult with my friend next door. Hey, you think I'm going to hit a line? No, I don't think you're going to. Go ahead and dig.
There you go. You're not consulting with the experts. That's exactly right. And they received 250,000 comments opposing this change. And those comments came in mid to late October. And they are just reviewing those comments, saying in the next week or so, we're going to read all those comments, we're going to respond to all of them, and we're going to finalize this rule and get it done before we leave office. And it's just not the way to do business. It might be good for some of their friends in the development industry and in the mining industry, but it's a crazy proposal. And certainly Congress will take a look at this next year if they go forward with it, and we assume the next administration will too.
Yeah, we would hope that the next administration would review all of these changes should they occur and perhaps make some changes. It's just amazing that I think the serious polluters in corporate America have perhaps never had a better friend in the White House. It's just amazing. Deborah Murray and David Carr with the Southern Environmental Law Center. You can learn more online at southernenvironment.org. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.